In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God called the light day. The darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters to divide the waters from the waters." And God called the firmament heaven. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters that are under the firmament be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. The gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass after its kind, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit after its kind upon the earth." So God made the grass of the field after its kind, and the trees yielding fruit after their kind, and the herb yielding seed, whose seed is in itself upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly after their kind, and the winged fowl that may fly above the open firmament of the heaven." So God made great whales and every living creature which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the seas, and let the winged fowl multiply in the earth." And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, the beasts of the field and the cattle and the creeping thing after their kinds." So God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, the cattle after their kind, the creeping thing after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God made He man. Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put man whom He had formed. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of all the trees in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shall surely die." Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden?" And the woman said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves amongst the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the fruit of the tree whereof I commanded thee, saying, thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, saying, thou shouldest not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord said, behold now, man is become as one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, therefore, lest he put forth his hand to the tree of life and live forever, therefore he sent man out of the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And the Lord God placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon God. There's none that stirreth up himself to take hold of God. From the sole of their foot to the top of their head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They're not closed. They're not bound up. They're not mollified with ointment. Your sins have separated between you and your God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Many shall come from the east and from the west, and sit down in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of this kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, a gnashing of teeth. The tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so shall it be in the end of this world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He'll say to them on the left hand, depart from me,
You curse it into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And they shall be tormented with fire and with brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Came to pass, the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither doth God respect any persons yet. Doth he devise means whereby his banished be not expelled from him? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God, in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we through him might live. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich, who gave himself for our sins, that we might be redeemed from all iniquity, according to the will of God and our Father. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he shall be cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting.
Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers took Jesus into the common hall and stripped him of his raiment. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they placed it upon his head, put a reed in his right hand, and bowed the knee before him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They took that reed and smote him on the head. After they mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own clothes back on him, and led him out to crucify him. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cried unto thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and they were delivered. They cried and thou didst deliver them. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that pass by shoot out the lip. They mock, saying, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he'll have him. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw, for thou hast brought me to the dust of death. Many dogs have enclosed me. The assembly of the wicked have encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they stare and look upon me. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. When the sixth hour was come, it was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, 'I thirst.' It was set there a vessel of vinegar. One of the soldiers took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it to his lips. When he had tasted thereof, he said, 'Into thy hands I commend my spirit.' He cried, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head, gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers came and brake the legs of the one and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one having a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.' Now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb slain, without spot, without blemish. Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is to say, not of this building, nor of the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he hath obtained eternal redemption for us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body. Nicodemus also, which at first came to Jesus by night, he came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. They took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in cloth with the spices, as the custom of Jews is to bury. And as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. As it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. As they were going up to Jerusalem, Jesus took the disciples apart in the way and said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners. But after the third day, I will rise again." The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. When they looked, they saw the stone rolled away from the door of the sepulcher. And they ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And they said, "They've taken away our Lord, and we know not where they've laid them." So the two ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And stooping down, looking in, he saw the linen clothes lie, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter and went into the sepulcher and saw the linen clothes lying and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then came in that other disciple which did outrun Peter and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that Jesus would rise from the dead, and they returned again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two men sitting, clothed in white, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said, "Because they've taken away our Lord. We know not where they've laid him." And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. But she knew not that it was Jesus, for her eyes were holden. And he said, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell us where you have taken him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." Mary said, "Rabboni," that is to say, "Master." Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my disciples that I go unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. How that he was buried, and how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." When he had spoken these things, he was taken up into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, two men stood by them in shining garments, saying, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which ye have seen taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. So then, when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal hath put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe also that them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not of the night. You're children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Whether at evening, or midnight, or cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not. The Son of Man cometh. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now is the end come upon thee, and I'll judge thee for all thy ways, recompense thee for all thine abominations. Mine eye will not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I'll judge thee for all thy ways and recompense thee for all thine abominations. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was as a fiery flame, his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was and the books were opened. Judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Then shall he sit upon the throne in his glory. They'll gather before him all nations. He'll separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He'll set his sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall he say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us must give account of himself to God. Thou set our iniquities before thee. Our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My secret sins are not hid from thee. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, will not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed from the housetop. Neither is there any creature that's not manifested in his sight. But all things are open and naked under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I say unto you that every idle word which man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. How long, you simple ones? We love simplicity. And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you, because I have called. But you refused. I stretched out my arm. No man regarded. You've set at naught all my counsel. You would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early. They shall not find me, because they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord, but set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and take of the water of life freely. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Prepare to meet my God. Let's bow for prayer. May I give you just one more verse before I pray? Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall be his judge in the last day. Dear friend, one day we're going to give an account to the word of God. God's truth is going to stand, and we're going to be judged by it. I wonder, what has the word of God convicted you about tonight? Do you need to be saved? Man fell into sin. The human race is separated from God. That sin demands a penalty. That penalty is hell. God in his love saw fit to give his only son to die in your place, to take the penalty of that sin. He not only died, he was buried. But he rose again the third day. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He lives today, making intercession for you right now. Preparing a place in heaven for you. Have you accepted him? Without him, you're going to be cast to a lake of fire forever. With him, you can have eternal life in heaven. I wonder tonight, perhaps you'd say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever accepted Christ.
Tonight, the Word of God has convicted me of the fact that I'm a sinner in a need, and I have a need of a Savior. And I'd like you to pray for me. Heads are bowed. I'm not here to manipulate you or embarrass you. But the Word of God has convicted you today that you're not for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Could I pray for you? While heads are bowed, would you just slip up your hand if that's the case and let me see it for a moment, that I might pray for you tonight? Not absolutely certain that you're on your way to heaven. You can be certain tonight. The invitation is to come to Christ, not to a church, not to a set of rules, not to a religion per se, but to Christ. And you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure that I have Christ." Anyone at all? Christian, what does the Word of God convict us of tonight? We too are going to meet God. Though we've been saved, we're going to give an account. Is our life right? Is our house in order? Is there nothing between our soul and the Savior? Does the Word of God tonight convict us of disobedience? Areas where God has plainly commanded us to obey Him, and yet we have refused for one reason or another. Remember, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We're going to suffer loss at the judgment because of our disobedience, unfaithfulness to his commands. Perhaps God tonight, as a Christian, has challenged us concerning his word. The Bible is a powerful thing. God wants it to be powerful in your life. He wants you to take the time to read it. He wants you to take the time to hear it preached. The Word of God can change and challenge you with the areas of your life. Maybe your relationship with the Word of God is not what it ought to be. Oh, tonight my prayer would be, as you've heard it in its pure, simple form, you would once again fall in love with the Word of God. Like Jeremiah of old, who said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Is God challenging you? Remember, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. All of us have heard it. Now are we going to keep it? Father, work now in this invitation time. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would guide us into the truth of your word. Lord, maybe one verse tonight pierced our heart. One phrase sticks in our mind. Your Holy Spirit is commanding and urging and with that still small voice convicting us to obey. In that area, I pray that we'll do so. May we hold nothing back. I pray, Lord, for that man or that lady, that young person in this room tonight that's not saved. Lord, I pray that they would never be able to escape the convicting power of the Word of God in their life. Before they would leave this building, may they find Christ as Savior. How we thank you for it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly to your feet if you can. I'm going to have Mrs. Fallon play softly and tenderly "Jesus is Calling," 246. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, he's used the Word of God to convict you as a Christian, or if he's convicting you to be saved tonight, I'm going to ask you just now to slip out of that place where you are. Come. Spend some time here at this altar. If you're not saved, I'd encourage you to come and meet us here. Let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. James said, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God. Would you let Christ save you tonight? If you're not saved, if you'll come, we'll show you from the Bible how to settle that. You can leave this place tonight knowing you're on your way to heaven. Wouldn't you like to do that? Would you come?
Christian to us, Peter said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. The Word of God is our sword of the Spirit against the world, against sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What's your relationship with the word of God? Perhaps there's struggling in your life. There's all kinds of failure and discouragement. You realize tonight it's because you've gotten away from the word of God in your life. That's where the power is to live for God. That's the thing that's going to keep you on the right track. Jesus said you do err not knowing the scriptures. But you see, we're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The word of God, how important it is in our lives. If it's not important to you, you ought to come tonight. Set some new goals concerning the word of God. If you might just look this way before Pastor comes, closes the service, or continues it as he feels led. I would hope you'd not leave this building tonight viewing what you have seen and heard as a performance. It's my fear that when preaching this message, people will view it as a performance, as a circus act. It's not that. I would hope that tonight the Word of God, long after you leave this place, maybe years from now, would continue to penetrate your heart. You see, friend, this is not an ordinary book. This is God's living Word. And it has power beyond any other book. It's God's message. And I would hope tonight, as you've heard it preached in its pure and simple form, you'd realize this is a book. God has something to say to me. And I'm going to find out what that message is for me from this book. I hope every time from this point on that you would take this book and open it up and read it, or every time you'd hear it preached, you'd look at it a little bit differently. You would realize this is God's message to me. It's not just some collection of stories and a bunch of these and thous that nobody can understand. This is a pointed, directed message to the soul of human mankind. And we can accept it and obey it and rejoice in it, or we can reject it and face the judgment of God forever as a result. What we do with this book is up to us. God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, therefore, choose life, that thou mayest live, that thou mayest obey his voice and cleave unto him. For he is thy life and thy length of days. I appreciate you coming tonight. And if we can be of any help even after the service, talk to someone. Let us know how we can help. Pastor, you come.